This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Entering hour 3 of 5, Rami Makhlouf with you on Bears Overnights here on a Football Monday. Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'm with you until 5 o'clock, taking you right up to Mully and Haw. They're joined by Olin Krutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8. Anthony Heron is with Bernstein and Harris at 11 o'clock. Dan Wiederer joins Bernstein and Harris at 1 o'clock. Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes at 3 o'clock. Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes at 4 o'clock. And Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes at 5 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, TJ Edwards will join Bernstein and Harris. So we got you covered like nobody else does in talking about and to your Chicago Bears right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Time for your calls, your text at 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the Bears talk after a 35-16 win over the Jaguars in London today, or just your thoughts on where this team is at right now. 4-2, headed into the bye week. At, behind, ahead of where you thought they'd be, not just in the record, but in terms of the eye test and what you've seen on the field. I can't imagine too many Bears fans are disappointed or upset with what they've seen from Caleb Williams these last couple of weeks. And I wanted to take sort of a segment, maybe even like the whole hour out of this show. It is, I mean, he's the centerpiece, man. He's what's going to make this thing go. And if this team ever gets to the promised land, it'll probably be Caleb Williams that leads him there. And there's some numbers that just absolutely blew my mind and will blow your mind in terms of Caleb Williams, what he did this week, what he's done to this point in the season compared to other rookie quarterbacks, other Bears rookie quarterbacks, but also just his contemporaries that are playing the position in the league today, including veterans. And I know sometimes like numbers make people fall asleep. You know what I mean? So Tyler, I want you to do like some live on-air producing here. And if I'm just spewing too many numbers, like if this becomes not fun at any point, just crack your mic open and say that's enough. All right? But I don't think that's going to happen because some of these numbers are so mind-blowing and got to make you so happy as a Bears fan to see him coming out of the quarterback position here in Chicago.
I'm so anxious to hear what you got up your sleeve.
Well, they're the basic ones. He went 23 of 29, 226 yards, 4 touchdowns, 124.4 passer rating. That's his third game exceeding 100 in passer rating. He's now thrown for 1,317 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions in his first 6 NFL starts. His last 4 games, he's thrown for 1,050 yards in 4 games. No Bears quarterback has ever thrown for 4,000 yards. In 4 games, he's thrown for 1,050 yards with 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Just one INT over the last 3 games. That was the one to DJ Moore today, which I know he would love to have back. His QB rating week by week. Check this out. 55.7 week one. 51 week two. This is where things started to turn.
Here we go.
80.8 week three. 106.6 week four. 126.2 in week five. And actually, a slight dip this week as he dropped to 124.4. But three straight weeks now of a over 100 passer rating and two straight weeks at or around 125, which is, you'll take that from just about any quarterback in this league. Jacob Infante from Windy City Gridiron. I had him on the show on Wednesday. He put out this tweet. Caleb Williams among quarterbacks in week six. Now, this was before the Monday Night Football game was played, but based on the results of that game, I don't think the performances of either of those quarterbacks changed anything about this. Caleb Williams among quarterbacks in week six. 88.3 QBR. That's first. 79.3 completion percentage. That's first. Four passing touchdowns. That's tied for first. 0.313 EPA and completion above expectation. That's first. 0.529 EPA on third downs per play. That was third in the league. 16.1% completion percentage over expected. That was first. And his passer rating that I just mentioned, 124.4, that was fourth in the league this week. Shall I continue?
Yes, you shall continue.
He now has, this is where things start getting crazy. When you start looking at it historically and putting it in perspective of other Bears quarterbacks, he now has the same number of touchdowns his rookie season as Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields did during theirs. We're six games into the season. He's already matched what those guys did in their rookie season, six games in.
And you can say, I guess, so what? They didn't play a full... Well, yeah, they didn't play a full season. They played, what, 9-10 games, maybe?
Yeah, I think
that's so. So impressive.
Mitch Trubisky set the Bears' rookie record with 2,193 passing yards in 2017. Caleb Williams, if he continues at this pace, should have that before Thanksgiving. If he keeps going at this clip.
Wow.
We have to go way, way back, though. Charlie O'Rourke had set the rookie passing touchdown record of 11, set back in 1942. Williams is two away from tying that. Only two other rookie quarterbacks have posted three games with a 100 passer rating in a season in Bears history. O'Rourke and Mitch Trubisky. He's the third guy to do it in a season. He became the franchise's first rookie quarterback since Cade McNown in 1999 to throw four touchdown passes in a game.
That was the one I saw earlier on the Sunday Night Football broadcast.
Those four passing touchdowns, something Justin Fields did twice last season. Mitch Trubisky did once in 2018. And those are the only four touchdown performances by a Bears quarterback since Jay Cutler in 2014.
Unbelievable.
His 79% completion percentage is the highest game mark in league history by a rookie with 25-plus attempts and 4-plus passing touchdowns. He's now 12th in the league in EPA on red zone throws. He's 6th when defenses play man against him. He's 1st in both metrics among rookie QBs, and the Bears have scored 35 points in consecutive games for the first time since 2013. And you pointed out earlier, I had this in the notes already, Tyler, their offense scored five touchdowns 2 weeks in a row for the first time since 1956. Like, what he's doing, what this Bears offense is doing, is breaking curses for Bears offenses and for quarterbacks in this city.
I was saying during the game, after those couple of fourth quarter touchdowns and just the way that they were going down the field, I'm like, is this real? Are we living this right now? Like, this doesn't feel real with what we've endured the last however many years.
And just, I've had that same experience. I've had that same feeling, and that same thought has run through my head. And in terms of the overall performance and watching the offense sort of move, but just some of the plays and the throws that he makes, I go, oh, I haven't seen a Bears quarterback make a throw like that. And he is clearly learning how to play the game at this level, and he's clearly learning how to beat NFL defenses. And I heard this is something that was said, I don't know, 2 years ago when I was just at home watching the Four Letter Network, and I was watching Dan Orlovsky. I don't even remember who he was talking about or what he was breaking down, But the way that he put it has just stuck with me. And he said there's the art of playing quarterback, and then there's the science of playing quarterback. And the art of playing quarterback is what you do on off-time plays, on off-schedule plays, when you have to break out of the pocket and make something happen. The art is the touch or the zip to get the ball into a window or in a certain space between defenders. The science is that's the stuff that you learn and can be taught when you get to this league, and coaches can teach you, and experience on the field can teach you based on what you see and how teams react to you and how you react to teams and the things that they throw to you or that they throw at you. And I think Caleb Williams, and I think this is the case with a lot of guys that come in with a lot of expectations and a lot of hype. They have sort of the art of playing quarterback kind of down. That comes natural to them. That's something that I think you're almost born with. It's an instinct that you're almost born with to be able to do some of those things when plays break down, to be able to have that touch or that sort of zip on your pass to get things into tight windows. Those are things you sort of know and have in your tool belt when you get to the league. And we saw a lot of that with Caleb Williams. We saw it in the preseason on the throw to Roma Dunze that had us planning parade routes 2 weeks into the preseason. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the art of playing quarterback, I think Caleb Williams had when he came into this league. What separates quarterbacks and what makes guys take steps and leaps in their development is that science and learning that science of playing quarterback and how to beat NFL teams. And I think that's really what we're seeing with Caleb Williams and why he's taking these steps here in recent weeks. And I heard Kurt Warner, who you can hear this morning right here on 670 The Score as part of a Football Monday coming up later today. He was on the call on NFL Network today, and he was talking about the development of Caleb Williams and specifically his eyes. And I wanted to play you two clips from Kurt Warner on the NFL Network today talking about Caleb Williams and using his eyes as a quarterback in this league.
And I always say, Rich, the eyes of the quarterback are the window to their soul, meaning if you follow their eyes, it tells you what they're doing, what they're seeing. Do they know what they're looking at? When you see a quarterback that's moving their eyes back and forth, you say to yourself, well, they don't know what they're looking at. They're trying to find someone open. When you watch somebody with their eyes and they connect to their feet and they definitively go from one to two to three working across the field like Caleb did on that last play, it lets you know they know exactly where they want to go with the football. You know, I fell in love with Brenda looking at her eyes.
Nice.
I fall in love with quarterbacks watching their eyes. And you see it starting left, coming back to number two right here, working back across the field.
There's his soul right there.
There it is. You see it. You love it. Being able to work through his progressions, that's where we've seen the progress from Caleb Williams starting week one until now. And he just continues to get better each and every week.
Giving the wife a little love on the broadcast. Nicely done, Kurt Warner. Well done, sir. And it was very cool to watch, because the first clip that you heard there, he was saying it after, I think it was a throw to Keenan Allen over the middle of the field to get a first down. And he talks about the eyes. But then the second clip that you heard, they replay it. And they have the camera zoomed in on Caleb Williams' face as he's progressing through his wide receivers, and you see it. You see it clear as day. You see his eyes go from one to two to three, and then eventually come back around to four and find the man for the first down. And that's something that quarterbacks really have to learn. They're doing that at lower levels, but it's happening so much faster at the NFL level, and defenses are throwing so much more at you in terms of actions and blitzes and everything else that defenses can do. For him to sit there calmly and confidently and go through his progressions and his reads, I don't think that's something that he was even really doing in the first couple weeks of this season. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, it's a different level, there are jitters and everything else, but also your offensive line wasn't doing you any favors. The guy was running for his life and trying to figure out NFL defenses at the same time. It's hard to thrive when you're just trying to survive. But that is a perfect example of what I'm talking about in terms of the science of playing quarterback and Caleb Williams sort of figuring it out. And another example of that, coming into this game, I didn't see, maybe somebody can help me out I was looking for this stat in this game. But coming into the game, he was 17 of 19 against blitzes in his last two games against the Rams and the Panthers. When the Jaguars played man defense and left the running lanes open, Williams found 56 yards on the ground on four carries this week. And that's another development in learning the science of playing quarterback in this league and countering what defenses are going to do to you. He was opening those things up with his eyes by looking downfield and making the defense sort of fall back and into coverage. And then he would take advantage of that and work right around the defense and pick up big chunks of yards on the ground. Both touchdowns to Allen and the fourth down conversion were big time, big boy throws. Those were throws that weren't open. Those were throws where Caleb Williams was putting it in a place where Keenan Allen was going to get it or nobody was going to get it. And especially the first touchdown, man. The first touchdown, he throws it before Keenan Allen is breaking out of his route and turning around. And then it's on the left shoulder, which is the only place that it could be. It's on the left shoulder of Keenan Allen as he turns around there in the back of the end zone. And that is not a lot of guys in this league can make that throw. And then the one over the top to Keenan Allen, sort of in the corner of the end zone there, again, where either he's going to get it or it's an incomplete pass. You hear Matt Eberflus talk about that a lot. Big boy throws that he made to Keenan Allen in big situations in the red zone and when they needed first downs. And finding that finding the quick throws. He was so quick with the football today. That's the science of playing quarterback. And then there was one play. They didn't score a touchdown on it. I don't know how many people are going to talk about it after the fact or weeks from now, but there was a play that was broken. There was a play that completely fell apart. This was in the fourth quarter, and Caleb Williams is scrambling. He gets out of trouble. He gets to his right, and it didn't look like there was anything there. But he finds Cole Kmet for a big chunk of yardage and eat more time off the clock.
Williams in his pocket evades the sack and finds Kmet. Cole Kmet inside the 10. Gain of 26. Caleb Williams doing it all.
That was a little bit of both the art and the science of quarterback coming together right there for Caleb Williams. And man, plays like that are incredibly, incredibly valuable for a football team. When a play and a drive looks like it's over and your quarterback makes a play that not a lot of other guys are going to play, sees something that not a lot of other quarterbacks are going to see and gets 27 yards out of it, incredible. Incredible, incredible development we're seeing from this kid. And on top of all that, the ability to bounce back after that interception and the way that this game started. This could have taken a real turn right there from the 2-3 and outs to and they did score a touchdown in between the 2-3 and outs and then that interception. But 2-3 and outs and then that interception, that's three of your first four drives on the game. And maybe against a better football team, you've already dug yourself too deep a hole. But he went straight to the sidelines after that, by all accounts, and we'll hear more from Keenan Allen and other guys that were on the sideline with him after that. Wasn't down at all. Just got right back to work, came out head up high, confident, ready to go on the next drive, and we saw it pay off. This kid has things that not a lot of guys do in their first 6 weeks in the NFL. He has things figured out already in his first 6 weeks in the NFL that not a lot of guys.
I had the same thought after the interception that, oh no, things were looking up. And the momentum was going to shift right back to the Jaguars because they had a good first quarter themselves on offense. But again, they shut the door momentum-wise. Like, to your point, it didn't even faze them. They went right back out in the field and just started attacking the same way they were each of the last couple drives. And it's like it never happened. And yep. That's the kind of stuff that, like, we love seeing. We're not used to this, but this is how it should be. And it's just refreshing to know that, okay, stuff is starting to point in the right direction like it should have been a while ago, but we got to take these kind of moments in games when they come.
How many times have we seen with the last three Bears quarterbacks, but not their three last quarterbacks, but the three last quarterbacks that we pinned any hopes on?
Oh, yeah, Mitch, Justin, and now Caleb. And,
well, no, I'm saying pre-Caleb. I'll go back to Jay Cutler.
Oh, okay,
I'm
Jay Cutler too.
Mitch, Fields, and Cutler. How many times did we see those guys throw an interception like that? And you can just see it in their eyes, in their face. You can feel it in the game that it's going to snowball. You know what I mean? That one interception is going to lead probably to a second interception or just the offense stalling out completely. That did not happen today. That did not happen today. And that goes back to a quarterback who's maturing and growing and learning this league, learning both. Like I said, he had a lot of the art of playing quarterback down when he came into this league, but he's learning more about the art of quarterback and a lot about the science of quarterback at the NFL level and how to play the position and how to read and beat defenses. He was so quick with the football today, man. He knew he had to get that thing out of there quick, and he did it accurately, and he did it effectively.
Next-gen stats, I know they do a lot of like in-depth stuff, and that was one of the emphasis points, I think, in the sometime in the second half was the quick pocket pass release throws.
You know, it's funny.
Under 3 seconds on mostly every single one.
I had in the long list of numbers, I just went over and talking about Caleb, I had this down and I forgot to read it. You just reminded me. This is from Next Gen Stats. Excelled on quick passes. He completed 13 of 14 passes for 111 yards and 3 touchdowns, 9 first downs. On quick passes for Caleb Williams.
Incredibly efficient.
That's crazy. Those numbers are insanely crazy. He set career highs in success rate, TD passes, completion percentage, over expected, and in total touchdowns in the game with 4. He was just amazing today, and he continues to grow before our very eyes. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. Shane Waldron deserves a lot of credit for that. The guys around him, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, having the patience to sort of grow with that kid. Again, we've seen him sort of unlock each of his weapons one by one. We saw the Roma Dunze big game earlier in the season, the Cole Kmet big game. DeAndre Swift had a couple. Then it was DJ Moore. And this week, and he said before the game, I'm going to try and find a way to get Keenan Allen more involved. He consciously went out there and tried to get Keenan Allen more involved and did it, and did it very effectively.
I'd say 2 touchdowns in 2 completely different fashions is unlocking. And that second touchdown pass to Keenan Allen was, that fade route is so tough. And he put that in a spot where, first of all, made the motion and the throw look effortless. And second of all, you look at the spot and you're like, holy cow, the defender had no chance to lay a hand on that football.
That was going to Keenan or the sideline. There was no way that was going to end up in the Jacksonville Jaguars' hand. And that's exactly what you want to do in that spot. Got some text here, 312-644-6767 if you want to text or give a call to the show. Says, this will be very interesting. I'm pretty sure Eberflus has a consistent losing record after a bye during his tenure. Is that... I don't know if that's true or not. That sounds right. That sounds familiar that he struggled coming out of the bye. But it's a different team, man. He also didn't have as good of teams coming out of the bye in previous years.
They are in a spot that they have not been in these previous years. So yeah, I agree. Maybe history does say that, but who knows? And Washington, I think they do play a game next week, but this is another tough defense they're facing. Baltimore, arguably the hottest team in the league right now. They're coming against another team. The Bears have won 3 in a row now as well. Mm-hmm. Defense, again, we bring it up, has not given up more than 21 points in almost a full season's worth of games. Just, they're going to have their work cut out for them. No question.
Got some text here from the 816. The Commanders are coming. Let's see how we play against a good team. We're going to get a ring back in Chicago eventually. He tagged that with eventually. Let's go to Maine real quick before the break. And Shane listening on the Odyssey app. What you got, Shane? Sean, I'm sorry.
Hey,
what's up, Sean?
My name is...
My bad.
Yeah, what's going on, Rami? Hey, so I'm going to give you a couple of takes up here in Maine. Every Sunday I wear my Bears gear.
There we go.
And I go play poker. I go play poker with some friends that... All of them are Patriots fans, except for a couple. Beginning of the season, this is how it played out. Beginning of the season, they were skeptical and this, that, and the other thing about Caleb, and I was too. Now, we're rolling. And now they're all saying this kid's the next big thing. And this is coming from Brady fans. It's just great to see. Yesterday, I woke up in the morning, Rami, and I told my wife, I think I'm going to start Caleb on my fantasy. I already have DeAndre Swift. I already have the Bears defense. And Cole Kmet sitting on my bench. Between them all, I got 70 points. It was crazy.
Nicely done.
Hang on. No, that's a lie. My apologies. So I think it was 44.
Okay.
In all actuality. And I got to say, I watch this team from afar. I miss home at times, especially on Sundays. And this team looks good. Can we compare to the Commanders? I think we beat them, actually. I really do. The defense looks incredible. The only thing is, I don't know how many passing yards Caleb's got. I think it was close to 300. I think it was 240.
I got it right here. Hang on one sec.
It was 226?
226. Thank you.
Thank you. But I'm going to be there November 10th to watch the Bears play the Patriots. And very excited for that. And then I'm going to come back for Lawrence's poker tournament.
Nice.
So very, very, very excited for that. And then I think I'm going to take in another Bears game sometime this season. I haven't decided when.
There you go,
Sean. I have my own business, so I got to be careful.
Outstanding.
I just miss everybody at home, and I want everybody to stay safe, stay well, and your whole crew, please be blessed, all right?
Hey, Sean, same to you, man. I'm glad we can bring a little bit of home to you on the score. Right there on the Odyssey app out there in Maine. I love the idea of Sean waking up in the morning. He's like, psst, babe, wake up. I got to tell you something. I think I'm going to start Caleb Williams on my fantasy team today.
He didn't tell me the DeAndre Swift and Bears defense part either. I was like, you go, Sean.
If I woke up my fiance, that's right, fiance, ladies and gentlemen, your boy got engaged.
Hey, thank you.
If I woke up my fiance to tell her who I was starting on my fantasy team, she would probably call off the wedding. I'm just guessing. If I woke up my girl, I was like, baby, wake up. I got a real good feeling about something. I'm going to start DJ Moore today. She would just slap me and go back to sleep. That's all that would happen. They don't care, dude. They don't care unless you're running the team with your significant other, which is cool. That's awesome if you got that going on. But otherwise, they don't care what you're doing with your fan. There's no need to wake up your girl or your guy to tell them who you're starting on your fantasy team that day. They do not care. Nobody cares. No one. Not a soul. I've stopped telling people about my fantasy team.
I love that Sean had the confidence to say that, though. He cares. He cares. 44 points. That's a lot of points between three separate fantasy guys, whatever you want to call it.
I would love to see his wife's reaction, though. I should have asked him how his wife reacted to that.
That would have been golden.
He woke her up this morning to tell her that he was starting Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift, and the Bears defense. Speaking of Caleb Williams, we'll hear from the Bears quarterback, the savior, the next big thing, as Sean put it. He's coming up next. I'm Rami Makhlouf. This is Bears Overnight and Back. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Right after this.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
With you until 5 a.m., taking you right up to Mully and Haw on a football Monday here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Talking Bears with you in the overnight and plenty of time to get your calls, your texts in at 312-644-6767. Text from the 816. I enjoyed seeing the Ditka lookalikes in the stands. That was fun. There were so many of them. Do you think that's just like he's... Is he still one of the more famous Bears across the pond? Like, or do you think those were Bears? Those were like Chicago people who went over there.
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I think there were probably 50-50. I would say.
Did you see the dueling Trevor Lawrence lookalike groups?
Yes. With the wigs and everything and the headbands.
And there were two different groups. It was two different groups four guys that were dressed like Trevor Lawrence.
I did know, and Rich Eisen tried to do it up with the Ditka accent. I the super fan accent. I appreciate that.
There is a question. A Bears factoid question in the text messages that's really good that I'm going to have to take some time to research, and maybe Tyler, you could help me out and try to find the answer to this while we hear from Caleb Williams. This is from the 773. Not trying to be funny. When is the last time the Bears were two games over 500? I seriously can't remember. I think
2020, they got off to a hot start.
Okay.
It was like, 4-1. I remember they beat the Buccaneers on Thursday night, and I think they got to either 4-1 or 5-1.
Okay.
That was probably, that season was probably the last time that they were two over.
I was going to say maybe we'd have to go back to 2018 or 2019, but you might be right. Well, I know it wouldn't be in 2021 or more recent.
No.
That's when the teardown and rebuild started for this team. But yeah, you might be. It might be 2020. I thought we might have to go back further than that. I will try and find the answer.
I'll do that right now. Look, 2020 Bears.
2020 Bears. Do you want to do it while we hear from Caleb Williams, or you want to do it live on the air?
I'll find it really quickly here.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's little stuff like that, man, that you don't even think about when you go through what we've gone through as Bears fans here the last few years. Last week, I took a nap when they got up by two or three scores, and I forgot those naps hit different. I haven't been able to take one of those in so long. Like your team is up by two or three scores on an NFL Sunday afternoon nap. I haven't taken one of those in so long that I forgot what they were like. Little things like that we forget, man. We forget that when you don't have it for so long, you forget what that's even like. And a question like that, when is the last time they were two games over 500? And we have to go back. Tyler, you've got it?
I've got it. It was 2020. Get this, Rami. They started 5-1 and lost 5 in a row to get to 6-6.
Wow.
Or no, I'm sorry. 5 in a row to get to 5-6.
5-6.
Yeah. They beat the Lions week 1, 27-23, 17-13 over the Giants. That's when Saquon tore his ACL. 30-26 over the Falcons. That was Nick Foles saving the day for Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. 19-11, the Colts came to Soldier Field with Phillip Rivers and beat the Bears. Then that fourth down Tom Brady mishap at Soldier Field on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
Bears win, get to 4-1. And then 23-16 over the Carolina Panthers. 5-1.
That's a great question, though. And the fact that we have to go back 4 years for the last time this team was just two games over 500, and also depressing to go back to that season.
I know.
And realize they were 5-1.
And knowing how it ended, too, the Javon Wims drop in the end zone in that playoff game, I knew right then and there they are not winning this game.
So weird. Now that you bring it up, I'm going back to that and like remembering how that season felt. It was so weird to be 5-1, but still be looking at Mitch Trubisky like, is this guy even an NFL quarterback? You know what I mean? Like,
once Nick Foles took over in that Falcons game, it was like he's got one foot out the door already.
Yeah, that was pretty much it for him. And that when they lost those 5 in a row, that was the beginning of the end of Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky as far as their tenures with the Chicago Bears. Nagy got the chance with Fields, but it was just never anywhere near being back on track. Oh,
9 sacks in the opening game against the Browns. Ugh. It was just a flat-out disaster.
Things looking much better with the quarterback and the coaching staff that they got now, and that quarterback is Caleb Williams, who spoke today after what you might call a career day in a 35-16 win against the Jaguars. 23 of 29, 4 touchdowns, a passer rating above 124, and here's what Caleb Williams had to say about it afterwards.
How's everybody doing? Pretty good. Thank you.
In terms of your first touchdown, the play design seems really great. Obviously, you sold the fake really well and then hit Cole on the seam. Just talk us through the play, what you saw. So
throughout the week, you watch film, and they're backers and things like that. They're good backers, but I think team-wise, they're fast flow, and so they fly around. And so we had a bunch of, mismatch and kind of having Keenan run around and then back go here and then Cole bluff and then go down the seam. So, offensive line, Keenan, all these guys that did a great job. All I had to do was throw a layup to Cole down the seam and, let them do the rest. So, to everybody else, it was great. Obviously good getting that touchdown in and getting everything going.
Caleb, you just the second touchdown to Cole came wide open in the back of the end zone. Was that a
load of
high read, or what'd you have there?
Yeah, so we practiced it throughout the whole week, and Cole did a great job because him and I made an adjustment with his route, before the game, and so he did a great job with that. And then I knew they were man. They tried to push the safety over I believe it was DJ over there, and he was running a slant. So they pushed the safety over to help. It was supposed to be 1-on-1 corner ball, and then safety fell off, and then the corner was supposed to fall off, or whatever happened over there. I think they busted coverage, but Cole did a great job going up and getting it.
Caleb, you just became the first rookie quarterback for the Bears to score 4 passing touchdowns in a single game since 1999.
Yeah.
What do you credit with your early success?
Offensive line, coaching, progress, the leadership on this team. For me, the constant mindset of keep going. I think us getting out there and getting our momentum going, us getting out there and executing, us believing in each other is what you credit it to.
How does the game feel for you right now? If you think back to those first couple of weeks, some of those games, Houston, Indy, you're sitting there in the locker room just trying to think through some of the things that could have gone differently versus how it feels to you during the game and afterward now.
Yeah, I think throughout this whole process of these past couple of games we've had, I think I've been seeing it well. And that starts, you know, throughout the whole week, watching film, getting there in practice, talking to the coaches, players, and things like that. So I think seeing it well, I think the comfort level of just, you know, like I've talked about before, getting back to playing football and, you know, where I need to be, eyes need to be, if I need to hold a safety, if I, you know, need to just hang on a route. So just getting back comfortable of just having that feel for the game. Obviously, you study, you watch, and do all these other things. But you know, once the ball snaps, you gotta have that that post snap read and know what you have to do and be confident about it. So I think that's what I can contribute to.
Yeah. What did you see on the interception?
Yeah. DJ wide open, and I didn't add enough juice behind it. I didn't put it where I put it in practice, which was a back pylon, and safety had an easy interception, and you know, I need to be better, because that would have got everything going, instead of you know, turn the ball over. We can't have turnovers, something that I pride myself on. You know, obviously. You know, it affects the whole team, affects the momentum, especially when you have a wide open receiver like DJ streaking down the field. So I got to be better. Definitely frustrating. Definitely had a few words for myself after that. But, you know, got the mindset back on track and ready to go for the next drive.
Well, I mean, I think the next four drives when you came out, you guys scored on all of those. Did you feel a little extra juice from that specific play?
Yeah, I was a bit pissed off at myself. Just because those are passes that I you know, don't miss, that you don't want to miss, and do something like that. And so yeah, I was a bit pissed off after that, and I think resetting myself was important, but still having that in the back of my mind, like you know, can't have that happen again, and let's go out here and go score.
Did that ball hang more than you thought, or was it just an underthrow?
Yeah, no, it hung a little bit more than I wanted to. I put it a little too high, not far enough. So definitely got to be better.
You're the second rookie quarterback in London to ever win a game after Trevor Lawrence did so in 2021. Yep. So how did your experience today playing in London compare to the build-up, the conjecture, the discussions going into the game?
Yeah, it was great. You know, you come out here with you come out here for a week or so, not a week, we were here for a couple of days, Tuesday to now. So you come out for a couple of days, and you're here for, you know, a good amount of time away from your home, away from your bed, my dog, all these different things. And, you know, troubling to sleep on the first 2 days and things like that. So, you know, being able to, you know, take that 8-9 hour flight home. With the win, it's just, you know, going into a bye week, it feels great.
Were you in there for the afternoon tea celebration, or did you see it? That your receivers did after
Kings? Yeah, I end up being a guard and protecting the afternoon tea. So, yeah, it was fun. You know, they planned that, and you know, it's always fun when you can have those things come to life. It's really enjoyable to go out there and watch those boys, you know, do their job, and then go out there and have fun and do things like that.
What did you do?
What's it like having Keenan Allen in this offense? Obviously getting his two touchdowns today, first time scoring a Bears touchdown for him. What's it like having him on the field?
Yeah, it's great. He's been a like a big brother to me. He's been special from you know, our relationship, and then obviously he's been special for many years. And so to have him on the team, his wisdom, his knowledge, and things like that, some stuff that he's taught me, you know, it's great. So being able to get him two touchdowns today, I know we've been just super close. First game of the year, we threw an out ball, and you know, we didn't connect. And then Rams game, threw like a ball to the seam. It wasn't a seam route, but threw a ball to the seam, got held. And so we've been super close, so to be able to get two touchdowns for him today, you know, it's pretty sweet, pretty awesome.
Kevin, the second quarter, you had concern about getting the chemistry kind of back. Let you get him in the middle of the end zone with a perfectly placed back shoulder ball. What do you see the notable there, and how do you know he also knows that that's what's going to be?
Cole, you talking about Keenan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got you. So we practiced throughout the week. We had different throws that we've practiced. Getting the extra reps, I think, helps out. Like I've talked about before, we get it, you know, sometimes we get a few extra reps in individual drill or, you know, after practice and things like that. And I think it definitely helped out. You know, all the hard work and extra work that we've been putting in has been great. And to have somebody like Keenan, you know, his patience and things like that. And we're six games in, and he's just getting his first two touchdowns. So I think his patience with how such of a, you know, he's such a great player and things like that, he's been great. So be able to get him those two, throw the back shoulder. It's like I said, it's something that we've practiced, kind of the same ball that we practiced this week that I threw earlier this week. So, you know, he did a great job and, you know, super excited.
How would you describe the way the offense came out in the second quarter? You guys only had 7 yards in the first quarter, and then it was like 200 plus in the second quarter. It had a feel like a rhythm click.
Yeah, so I think it feels great. I would say we got to be better. We got to start fast, especially, you know, when we, you know, we get the ball first and teams defer. But we definitely did a good job with that, you know, the second half, but also right before going into the half. Those points were huge to have those swings and things like that. And they always talk about, you know, the 4 minutes going into half and the 4 minutes coming out of half and things like that. So, you know, it's super important, but we got to be better at the start, myself included.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. The Bears. Thank you, everybody.
Go Bears, indeed. There's Caleb Williams after the 35-16 win over the Jaguars in London today. Really, really good stuff from Caleb Williams right there. They informed him that he was the first Bears rookie quarterback with four touchdowns since 1999. The dude immediately gives credit to his coaches and to his teammates. And for all the talk in the draft process about Caleb Williams, the diva, do his teammates really like him? He cried in his mom's lap, the painted fingernails and everything else. Like, the dude, at least in terms of the public perception that we get, anything on camera, on microphone from him, from his teammates, couldn't ask for a better teammate than what Caleb Williams has been to this point, and including knowing his place as a rookie in this league and how much leadership, how much of a leadership role he's going to have, how much say he's going to have, when to defer to his coaches and to veterans and other guys on this team. He just seems like the model teammate and like none of that stuff that we heard about any personality issues of him, like none of it was true based on what I've seen to this point.
Yeah. What happened to the whole talk of him requesting a trade from or pulling an Eli?
Yeah,
requesting not to come to Chicago.
That he wouldn't play in Chicago. Colin Cowherd said people have told him from Caleb's camp that he would not play in Chicago and would force his way out.
Yeah,
I remember.
I mean,
that.
I just again cannot echo more everything you just said. The whole pre-draft process. I remember we were dying to hear this guy talk right when the combine was going on, and then when it happened, when he spent the, you know, 10-15 minutes, whatever it was at the combine, he got asked a ton of questions, and it just felt like he handled himself so maturely.
Yep.
And just handled everything with class and didn't shy away for, because Justin Fields was very quiet, very reserved. This guy seems like he can answer any sort of question with 100% honesty.
It doesn't seem like, and I said this during the preseason and early on in the regular season, the whole draft process, all the interviews and everything else that goes into it, it never seemed like the lights were too bright for him or like the moment was too big for him. And that sometimes you see that off the field and it doesn't necessarily translate on the field. It is translating on the field. Like the mistakes that he makes, it's not because the lights were too bright. The moment was too big and he got jitters and sort of choked. The mistakes he's made have just been typical rookie mistakes, including like the interception that we saw today. And he said himself, not enough juice on it. He needs to be better. But he also talked about the fact that he was, and this is his words, really pissed off, but consciously reset himself, got his mind right, and said, let's go out here and score. And they went out and did exactly that, but said he needs to be better. He was asked about the feel of the game. And this goes back to what I was talking about in the last segment in terms of him learning this league, learning the science of playing quarterback at the NFL level, learning how to beat defenses. And he said he's seeing it real well. His comfort level is going up every week. And I love hearing him talk about using his eyes to move a safety and just being confident in his post-snap reads. That goes back to the stat I gave in the last segment, 13 of 14 on quick passes. And I think that's anything under 2.4 seconds from the snap. He was 13 of 14 on those today. He also talked about Keenan Allen and being like a big brother. And when he was talking about Keenan Allen and all the things that he does and how close they've been, I was thinking about Keenan Allen and this season and what we've seen from him so far in this season. And up until now, it felt like most of what Keenan Allen was bringing to the offense before today, and this isn't to take anything away from him because it's been a tremendous help, but most of it, like when you're watching the games and they show the replay after a big play to show you how everything opened up, a lot of it was Keenan Allen, the decoy, and just defenses knowing who Keenan Allen was and knowing they needed to pay a certain amount of attention to him and him taking defenders away from a Roma Dunze or a DJ Moore or a Cole Kmet. Today we saw like the weapon. We saw the weapon that Keenan Allen is, and he is that type of guy. And I knew he was from just a little bit of Chargers football that I'd watched when he was over there. He's that I'm always open guy. Because he doesn't need a lot of space to go up there and get the football. He doesn't need to separate from defensive backs as much as some guys do. Both the touchdowns and two big first downs were with guys all over him in the tightest of windows. And you got to give Caleb Williams the credit for getting the ball into those windows. But then for Keenan Allen to do the things in terms of the positioning of his body, the going up and fighting for the ball, the hands to grab it and pull it in, that's what this guy brings to an offense beyond being, you know, a decoy and I think the third leading receiver among active wide receivers in the NFL today.
And that is exactly, you know, it didn't solve everything, but that is a gigantic part of how, I think, why the Bears offense struggled week two, week three. They missed that.
Yes.
He came up with, you don't need to target him, you know, 15, 18 times a game like Justin Herbert did a lot in LA, but those 6-7 targets when you need a big play up the middle, you know, you got DJ Moore and Roma Dunze covered fairly well. Who else to turn to but trusty veteran Keenan Allen, and he rarely drops the ball.
Yes. It was, and it, like I said, today was the first time that I think we saw Keenan Allen, the weapon, on display and being put to use, as opposed to Keenan Allen, the decoy, which he's been for much of this season.
And his presence was felt today.
Yes, absolutely. He was really, really good, and that connection was really, really good. And I also think it speaks volumes that Caleb Williams, as a rookie, would go into a game, and he's done this. He did this with Cole Kmet, too. He said before the Cole Kmet breakout game, he's like, I got to find a way to get Cole Kmet more involved in this offense. And he did. And then today he goes out and he said that actually he said the same thing before the DJ Moore game too, that he had to find a way and they had to figure out that connection between those two. And then before today's game, he says, we have to figure out how to get Keenan Allen more involved in the offense. And I got to get the ball in his hands to consciously, like, and I've said this a couple times in the show this morning. Yeah. It's the morning to consciously make the decision of, I got to unlock this guy. Like, one by one, it's like he's going down the checklist of, all right, I unlocked Rome. I figured out how he can have a big day. I unlocked Cole Kmet. I unlocked DJ Moore. I unlocked DeAndre Swift. Now let's unlock Keenan Allen and see what this offense looks like when he does that. And the more that he does that, man, the more that defenses are just going to have to sort of pick their poison in terms of how they attack Caleb Williams and the Bears offense. And it just makes the multitude of what this offense can be so much more as they one by one unlock these guys.
He's speaking things into existence in these press conferences and making it happen on the football field. And you just get a different vibe with both, again, how he carries himself in these press conferences, how he plays on the football field. This just feels different. Like you could tell when a quarterback has got that it factor, like that, oh, this dude is a legitimate NFL quarterback. I feel like already you can just kind of see whatever we've seen the last, like you said, 15, 20 years go back way down the road with the Bears quarterback history. This is just different with this guy.
And the other thing, speaking of unlocking, another thing he really unlocked today, and we've seen some of this today, but the way he was tricking them into falling for those scrambles. And they weren't designed scrambles, but it looked like at some point when things broke down, Caleb Williams made the conscious choice to to scramble and did things to throw the defense in the other direction before he did and got 56 yards on four carries today. The more he does that, defenses are going to have to put a spy on him and say, we can't let him beat us with his legs, which is going to take somebody off out of coverage or off the pass rush and is just going to open up more things for this offense as they go down the road here. It's really, really fun to watch. There were times earlier where I wanted this to happen faster, but the ball is rolling now. The ball is rolling, and this offense is really, really getting going, and especially Caleb Williams is really getting going here these last couple weeks. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. I'm just the first leg of a Football Monday. Still to come will be, of course, Mully and Haw this morning in just a few hours. They'll talk with Olin Kreutz at 7 and DJ Moore at 8 o'clock. We'll hit a quick break. More of Bears Overnight. I want more of your thoughts at 312-644-6767. Drop me a text, give me a call, and we'll hear from you right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.